This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We are chatting with Thea Strange, author of My Zombie Boyfriend. Welcome, Thea.
Welcome.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, our pleasure, really. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Have you been writing for very long?
Yeah, my first story was published in March of 2013, and I've just been steadily writing ever since then.
Awesome. You should send us a link to that one. I have not investigated that.
I will certainly do that.
Wonderful.
So how did you come up with the idea for the book?
Well, it was originally an idea my wife and I had, and it was going to be a webcomic. We don't remember exactly how we got the idea, but it was definitely in part inspired by the song Voodoo by Godsmack. And we just wanted a necromancer character and an unusual zombie character. And so it didn't end up becoming a webcomic, obviously. But we role-played with them a lot, so by the time I got to actually writing the book, I'd had a lot of time spent in that world and exploring those characters, so writing it was easier than a lot of the things I've written, just because, you know, I knew them so well.
No, we love them.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
fantastic.
It.
Yeah, they're fantastic. There's some very popular shows mentioned, and you score a gazillion points with me for the Jane quote, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I can assume that you are also a fan, too.
Yes, absolutely. A friend got me into Buffy while I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, I had to watch Angel, too. And I still watch Buffy from time to time. It's sort of one of my default go-to shows when I need something to watch.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is Spike Stalker, so that tells you something
nice.
Right there.
Oh, yeah, I love Spike. It's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. I actually came to Buffy kind of a roundabout way. I didn't watch it when it first came on because I was too busy raising kids, and I'm not going to watch a kid teenage show.
Yeah.
So I had some downtime a couple years ago and a Netflix account and was watching Bones. And so when they have that little saying, if you like Bones, you like Angel. So I went to watch Angel.
Okay.
And I realized about the third or fourth episode, I can't remember, that it was there was canon going on. So I had to stop watching Angel and go watch Buffy.
Right.
And I was hooked. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm a complete Whedon freak.
Oh, yeah.
Whedon freak. Yeah. So.
Sexual fluidity is an important yet not important part of this book. Tells how we really love and who we love. And gender may have very little to do with that. Brings up an interesting concept about labels and how we choose to identify. The lead character identifies one label, even though he has experience that would lend itself to believe that it may be another. But it is his identity. It is how he feels. The love interest does not get a label. Was that on purpose?
Well, in Edward's case, he does identify as gay, not as bisexual. He's kind of shy about this, so as far as I know, he's only slept with three people. So that would be Mariel, his mentor, and Beau, his ex-boyfriend, and then obviously Kit, who is the zombie boyfriend. So because Mariel is his mentor, it was less about sex with them, and it was just more about their relationship and them getting to know one another. So Edward doesn't identify as bisexual, even though he has had sex with a woman. And with Kit, because it's from Edward's perspective, Edward spends most of the book, you know, trying to get with Kit, and he's interested in him. So he doesn't really want to think about him being interested in other people. So while Kit might identify as bisexual, Edward doesn't identify Kit as bisexual. Just because, you know, he doesn't want him to be, he wants him to be gay, and, well, more importantly, he wants him to be interested in him.
Exactly. Yeah. And it makes perfect sense. I mean, Kit doesn't even really know what he is when he comes, before he remembers anything.
Well, exactly. That too.
Yeah. It's a great story.
Thank you.
So not to give too much away, I really enjoyed how you introduced the necromancer aspect of the character in the first chapter. It was quite entertaining, you know, the he's mine thing. And we're not really sure where that's going. You know, it's like, does this guy have a, you know, a fetish or what's going on? It was pretty cool. How did you come up with that idea?
Thanks. So it's actually kind of interesting because that first chapter was originally, it got moved around quite a bit in the editing process. So that wasn't originally the beginning. Originally the beginning was Edward raising Boo when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But then everything got moved around. So it ended up being a lot creepier. And like in the people I sent the first chapter to read before I actually submitted it, I got that feedback of, oh, this is really creepy. Where is this going? So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, well, that's really going to work. It's really, you know, drawing people in. So urban fantasy is one of my favorite genres to read. It's like sort of my go-to genre. So I've read a lot about it and a lot of different ways that, you know, using magic is described. And I wanted it to be a very physical sensation for Edward, especially because he raises his first zombie before he's 5 years old. So he's very young. So it's not going to be something that's very ritualized or involves a lot of words or, you know, drawing different symbols or anything. It had to be something that was very physical and basic.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me. I never really actually thought about it as being a natural talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all, you know, conjecture anyway. But,
right.
But that's, I really liked that idea that it was something he was naturally born with.
Well, thank you.
And him working with his mentor and her being more of into the words and rituals was an interesting blend. And, of course, I just love Boo, you know, that poor kitty.
Yeah.
Falling apart at the seams.
But he's happy enough.
So, could there be a prequel coming from our nerdy necromancer?
I don't have any plans for a prequel right now. I've actually written a short story from Kit's perspective that I'm planning on submitting to an anthology. And I do also have a sequel underway, but it's not finished yet.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I'm so happy to hear that.
Well,
I really would like...
Yeah, at some point I would say that a great story would be Edward at 5 years old and getting his powers and that beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Future maybe.
Yeah, because his parents are really kind of interesting people.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
They really, really are. They're very accepting of him, aren't they?
Yes, they are, luckily for him.
But it would be great, like, to see parents needing this kind of help for a kid. You know, I have some powers.
Yeah.
Like, and I know other people that have various powers. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, there is no Hogwarts school in the real world.
No, there is not. There really is not. I really would like to see more about Bone, too. He kind of reminds me. I don't know if you watch Orphan Black. He kind of reminds me of Vic a little bit. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No, I haven't, actually.
No. Yeah. if you ever do watch it, he reminds me a bit like Vic, but not quite as ambiguous in his moral character, maybe.
Yeah.
he's pretty entertaining.
Well, it's funny because I've gotten that a lot from people. They want to know more about Bone, and I was kind of surprised. He was one of the original characters we created for the webcomic. He wasn't in the first draft of the book, but then I felt that I wanted Edward to have a contact in the morgue and just sort of expand his world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I added Bone back in. And yeah, just the responses I've gotten from reviewers and from people who have read it has been, oh, we want to know more about Bone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that I added him back in.
It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So all links will be provided on the website.
So Theo, while we have you here, is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I have a new release coming out on Wednesday, so I don't know if this will be posted before that or not.
I will try to get that up and make sure you give me the link for that.
Yeah. I mean, if not, I can just say, you know, I have a release coming out.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's an MMBDSM romance. And it's actually my first sequel. And it has Well, it has the sequel and it has the original story as well, just because it was out of print, so I wanted to re-release it so that they would be together.
Was that the first book you printed? Or
no, it was actually the second.
Oh, okay.
The first one is available as a free read right now.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And let's go ahead and plug our independent publishers. Who are you with?
I'm with Torcare Press.
Awesome, great. And we will also have that link for you. All right. Perfect. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Like I said, it was really a very enjoyable read, even the scary parts.
I'm glad to hear it. You're very welcome, and thanks again for having me.
Yes, and remember, thanks for the book.
No, thank you. You're welcome.
Remember, everyone, you're not wrong, you're not broken, and you're not alone. You are a human being, and you're bisexual, or you could be a zombie. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Thea.
You know, I didn't even do my sapiosexuals are like zombies because we both like brains joke.
You didn't.
Hi, I'm Amy.
And I'm Emmy.
And we are the Slayerettes. The Slayerettes is a retrospective podcast and one of the greatest shows of all time, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Basically, we go through every episode and discuss it.
What we loved, what we hated, and the things that make us think. There will be spoilers. I tend to go into the deeper stuff.
And I tend to get stuck on stuff like Joyce's hair and Buffy's jacket.
And we invite you to join in on the conversation.
You can find our podcast on iTunes as well as our website, www.slayerettes.com.
And if you're a social media lover, you can find us on Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter as well.
So if you're a fan of Buffy and you're looking for other Buffy fans,
or if you're just looking for a handy companion for your next rewatch,
then look no further.
Because we are the Slayerettes.
Rewatching and discussing TV's finest moments.
We hope you join us.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bicast crew.
Nip it back.